Maybe this morning might end quicker so you can get to wherever you need to go for an early lunch and celebrate your moms, right? Who knows? But if the Spirit leads, we might be here until 12:30. So I heard some groaning. All right, already starting off great. All right. Hey, let me start off with Lamentations. Lamentations 3:17 through 25 says this. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what his priority is. So I say, my splendor is gone and all that I had hope from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. I hope that verse can stick with you this week. As I was preparing this sermon, and we are doing a new series called Deep, and it's easy to think, okay, we're going to dive deeper in this. Really what this sermon series is about, finding ourselves in the deep end already and not seeing where the hope is, right? And as I was preparing this, and I was not thinking of Mother's Day. It just so happens that it just fell on this day as we planned it. We're going to talk about Ruth, all right? And Ruth can be found after Judges and right before Samuel, all right? It's page 315 for my Bible. I don't know if that matters for you, but we're going to be talking about Ruth and who Ruth was and the struggle that Ruth went through, all right? And in that, let me find it. We already read all that, all right? We're going to talk about her life and also her family's real quick, okay? Naomi had a husband and two sons, and they were living in the Bethlehem area, and they were going through a famine, right? Now, I don't think we have really struggled with the idea of famine, but, you know, if you've had your pocketbook hurt a little bit or struggled at paying for groceries or any of that, think about that as tenfold for them, right? To a point that they're deciding, hey, we can't grow anything, we can't get anything, we're going to pick up as a family and move to a foreign land, all right? And they moved to Moab, all right? And as they are getting accustomed into this new place, they're foreigners in this new land, and they're starting to grow, and they're starting to live life. Naomi's husband passes away. And there's not much else part of that story that's going on. They're just still living and going along. And both the sons find women to marry over in Moab. They're Moabite women. Whew. All right. There's a lot of names in the... I don't like preaching the Old Testament because, man, whew, it's tough on this mouth. All right. But they marry one that's Ruth and one that's Orpah. All right, and for the next 10 years, they're living life. And then all of a sudden, tragedy hits, and both the sons die. And what a great sermon for Mother's Day. I was like, Lord, why? Why would you lead me down this way, right? And I want to talk about this moment, right? And I think we could all live in this Naomi's situation. Life is horrible. Husband dies, both sons die, just hopeless, right? And she decides, you know, instead of being in this foreign land with all these foreign people, I am going to move back home to Bethlehem and just pick up and go, all right? And so this is what happens. She starts to go, and she has these two daughter-in-laws, and they decide, all right, Naomi's leaving. We are to go with her. So they pack everything up, and they're about to head off to a foreign land for the very first time for them and be in a place that is not normal for them and to be widows at that too, all right? And as they're traveling, you have Naomi look at them and say, listen, this is not a place for you. why don't you stay here, go back to your families, go back to your mom and father, and find another person to marry because you're still young. Right? And they both, this is what I love about this, because Naomi must have been an amazing mother-in-law, because they both clinged to her and said, no, we're going. And they both, in the middle of this trip, on the way back, just start bawling, just crying, right? And you can just sense in this the intensity of this relationship. So you kind of get this idea that they went a little bit further on down the trail, and then Naomi's like, again, no, this is not a safe place for you. This is not, we're going to be traveling for a little while. Like, I don't want to have to also worry about you during these travels. Please go back. Please go back. And then you had, and so you have this tragedy, and then you have a choice here. And Orpah decided, which is not a bad choice, it never even was condemned at this point, but she decided, I'm going back home. I'm going to be with my family and live with them. I love you. God bless you. May you go. Right? And it didn't hurt Naomi, but Ruth was adamant. She clinged on to Naomi and said, I will never let you go. I will worship the same God you worship. I will be at your side when you need me. I am here. I am yours. Deal with it. Pretty cool daughter-in-law. Amazing moment there that is very selfish. Selfless. And again, it wasn't that Orpah's was a bad decision. It was Ruth's decision in this moment to go even further beyond. All right? And she wanted to be the daughter for Naomi. So they go and live there. And they don't have much. And by the time they get back to town, it's been like introducing with old friends again. And all these ladies came up to her and was like, Naomi, is that you? And in this moment, Naomi says, no. It is me, but I'm different now. My name is not Naomi. My name is Mara, which stands for bitter, right? And her heart had turned. She lived in a hopeless situation. She lost her husband, lost her two boys, and lost her way, right? I want you to understand, church, very first, I've talked about this before, we are the beacons of hope, right? Okay. All right, good. We are the beacons of hope in a lost world, okay? And the thought process here is also what that looks like when those are around us just live in the bitterness and hopelessness of the situation that they have. It is easy to say, just get over it. Time will heal all wounds. Move on, it's time to go. And I will say, that is not our place to say those things. Okay? Our place is to carry the burdens of each other, to sit out in the deep and wade in that deep of that misery as Ruth did for Naomi. I only imagine, because they don't talk about this in the scriptures, I wonder at any point she was like, when is she going to be herself again? Right? But she never vocalized it within that story. In fact, she was there at every beck and call, and they were getting to a point where then they were back into Bethlehem that they needed food. They needed supplies. And Naomi was not in a place to do those things, so she sent Ruth to go to the fields and farm it, basically, behind those that were harvesting. So Ruth left to go do work that she probably never really have done before, out in the field, in a foreign land, on a foreigner's, on a landowner's property. Hopefully they would not abuse her, take advantage of her, or be mad at her. So she went and asked permission. She followed along those who were harvesting and gathering from that what was left behind for her and Naomi. And all that time, she did it with a heart of compassion and love. She was never resentful. At least she never vocalized it. She was there to be the daughter to Naomi, who was the mother of her husband. Think about that. Like, if we put that in contextualizing in our own society, how close are we to our mother-in-laws? How close are we willing to take that extra step to love somebody that's not blood? To love somebody that told us and released us, hey, you can go. I don't want your relationship because I need to be in this, and I don't want you to have to deal with this. Have you ever been told, hey, it's my burdens, not yours to carry. I've got it. I want you to know Ruth is the example in the Old Testament. No, it is ours. And it's not even intrusive. It is one that says, if you don't even let me share it, I will let you know I am here for it. And taking that extra step would be like the phone call, the love, the letters, the extra step of making sure they are not alone in their grief. Right? And that's who Ruth was. And she was doing all these things, and all of a sudden such a cool thing started happening. And what's awesome about this story too, unique about this story in the Old Testament, God is rarely mentioned in this story. He's working in the background. And there's many times as we are dealing with hopelessness, as we're dealing with loss, and we're dealing with things that are not comfortable in our world, there are many times we feel like we don't hear or see or know if God even cares. And I'm going to tell you right now, he's working in the background. All right? He's loving you right where you're at, and you might not see it. And what I see too is Ruth was the hands and feet and the heart and the grace of God for Naomi, all right? And she was out there working in this field, and this is where a moment that God was starting to work, and she was introduced to Boaz, all right, who is considered the redeemer of this family. Boaz is related to Naomi, or Naomi's husband, all right? And in this culture, in this world that they lived in, which is not the normal culture for us now, it would have been his obligation or any closer relative's obligation to take upon those that were left behind by the widow. So meaning he would take on the land, and he would take on the spouse, and he would take on the kids as his own, right? And Boaz comes in and sees this, and this would have been a very unique situation because she was a foreigner. She was not one of them. And he could have instantly been like, no, I don't want this. I don't want any of this, right? Instead, he was welcoming. He was kind. He was interested. And he showed her compassion and gave her more than what she needed from his harvest and sent her on the way. And then Naomi goes, who did you meet? She explains who she met. And she's like, oh, he's the redeemer of our family. He's a good man. He's a good man of God, right? And she gave Ruth instructions of how to kind of like court Boaz, all right? Which is a very interesting thing. If you ever want to read it, look at it. I don't know if I'll go into too much detail. I just know she said, hey, go uncover his feet while he's asleep. Look nice and lay at his feet until he wakes, and then something happens. Different culture, all right? I encourage you to go and read it because it's unique, it's interesting, and it's awesome to see how God works and how unique different cultures have different things, right? That is not how I courted my wife. Nope. Right? And I hope nobody else did either because then, who knows, might be weird. We'll have to have counseling. But no, God is good, and in this moment, what happens here is Naomi starts to find hope in this situation. And she sends Ruth back. Ruth is greeted with Boaz. Boaz does not treat her horrible in this moment. In fact, wants to honor her in a way that nobody else will take this for granted, right? And then says, hey, listen, I know what's going on here. I would love to be your redeemer. I would love to be the one that takes upon this right, but I know there's another one closer than me, and I need to do this right. Okay, in that, just alone, like there's so many things. It would have been just easy to skip ahead and go, oh, no, I'm going to take it, and I know it's not my right, but I want it, and so I'm going to get it, right? That's an easy thing for us to get caught up in, but what if we include God in it and we take the extra steps, whether or not it cost us or not? Understand? God calls us to do what is right, even when it goes against what we really, really, really want. All right? And in this moment, he has this meeting with this other person that is a closer relative, and he presents it in a way that you will get his land, and you'll get his livestock. You'll get everything that was Naomi's widowed husband, and you'll get it all. And he's like, yeah, I'll take it. And then at the very end, he goes, oh, and with this comes with a Moabite woman. You'll get his wife. And he goes, oh, hold on for a second. I'm in a situation, I can't not do that. And he rejects it, and he goes, no, Boaz, if you want it, it's all yours. And this is what's cool. This is a little nitbit. And like, you got to love how contracts are made in today's world compared to last year's in the Old Testament in this culture. I almost wish we could kind of go back to this. You brought people along with you in this discussion, which is what Boaz did, so he had witnesses to what's going on, right? This is pretty cool, right? And to signify that a deal is done, they would take off their sandal and just give the sandal to the person to say it's guaranteed. I'd be wanting to do contracts all the time. Give me your sandal, man. Right? Just weird. Anyway, just weird culture things there. But you have a moment, then all of a sudden, Boaz now has a wife. And it is Ruth. And they both find themselves redeeming a situation that was tragic. And even Ruth could have lived in despair, but because she loved her mother-in-law so much more than herself in this moment, she put her despair off to the side and tried to become the beacon of hope out in the deep. Okay? This is everything that God is, like if you read scripture, if you know the New Testament, if you know the Old Testament, man, God is calling us to be sacrificial with our relationships. And sometimes we cannot be. Sometimes we live in that moment of desperation. We live in that hopelessness of desperation. And that's where you got to be able to receive a Ruth. Embrace the Ruth that's going to cling to you to show you hope. Because I honestly believe there have been times in our own lives, in your own lives, you could probably even look back, that you felt that it was just completely and utterly hopeless for you. And God has probably sent a Ruth your way. Don't shake them off. Embrace them. Allow them to love you this morning, this month, this week, this year, when you need it. Let them be the beacons of hope that you need to have. Otherwise, I truly believe at some point in our lives too, we are called to be Ruths. We are called to be the beacons of hope to a lost world, a lost neighbor, a lost relative, a lost best friend, a lost kid, a lost parent. I mean, that loss can go, go, go. And it is easy to sit here and go, you know, if only they did this, 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 life would be better for them. I will tell you, one of the things that I have learned being married, and it's innate in me, and I think it's innate in most men, if we see a problem, we want to fix that problem, right? Man, I feel like an island this morning. All right. And if you've ever had a spouse or a girlfriend or anything, and they're venting their problems, let me give you a heads up. They don't want the answer from you. Right? What do they want? They want you to listen. They want you to be compassionate. They want you to care just as much as they care about what they're complaining about or the issues that they have or any of those things, right? The same goes true for us as believers. We definitely have the answer, right? Jesus can fix all wounds. He can heal all things. But I'm going to tell you right now, just going and say, Jesus can make that better, isn't going to work. You know what makes it work? Living out and breathing out and being the embodiment of Jesus Christ to those who are hopeless. Being the Ruth. And what I love about this, this is the Old Testament. This is before Jesus showed his presence here. And it showed before anything that we thought was good in this humanity, right? But we get these stories that show God is moving, and he's moving behind the scenes. He's using people to do his bidding, right? And in this moment, you guarantee Ruth was being used by God, and she might not even known it. My question for us is this morning, are we ready to be the Ruth for those who need to have the hope that is lost? Are they being Maras? Are they bitter? Are they angry? Are they frustrated? And are you sitting on the side, man, if they weren't so bitter and angry and frustrated, I could be friends with them, but they're so bitter, angry, and frustrated, I don't want to be around them. Guess who God sends us to? The lost and the broken, the hopeless, the bitter, the broken, the angry. And I love the New Testament because it points to how we show them his love. We are patient. We are kind. We are full of hope. We hold no envy. We hold no grudge. We forgive. Go read what 1 Corinthians 13 says about love. Because that's not about weddings. That's about how churches are to love each other. It's not about just a bride and a groom's love. It is about a church's love, and the brothers are, and the community that we live in is how we love with that. You understand? And to be, we are not called to be on the side of the pool looking at those who are drowning and go, hey, I yelled at them, just swim, tread water. Side note, I had a horrible parenting move when I was when Jackson was young. We had a pool, and I decided training my son how to swim would be the old school way of just throwing him in and go, survive. All it did, right? Now, that may have worked for me how I swimmed, but at the same time, not everybody is me. Not everybody is you. And God has equipped us with certain tools so that you can be the Ruth to a Naomi. If you're strong, share that strength. Don't boast about it. If you see somebody struggling in the deep of life, throw them a lifeline. Go out there with them and struggle with them. That's what it is to be a Ruth and God working all behind the scenes. And this is what's amazing about this entire story. He wraps it up with this, things to rejoice about, right? In this moment of tragedy, losing a husband, losing two kids, moving back, hoping things, you know, just get back to kind of normal and just that I can be an old person that lives in this bitterness and can just die. And all of a sudden, there's hope and Redeemer and Boaz and Ruth, and they provide them with a child. And all of a sudden, Naomi is now a grandma and finds hope in this little one. And this is what's even crazier about this story. If you know Bible, if you know where the story of Jesus, it's just so awesome how God works. This is his hand. Fully involved. He takes this woman and he takes Boaz and he gives them the lineage of David, the king. And who is in the lineage of David? Jesus. See, isn't God amazing? In this moment of tragedy, in this moment of hopelessness, what is birthed out of it? Hope. A miracle. things to rejoice about. It doesn't talk about it, but I'm pretty sure Naomi was no longer Mara. I'm pretty sure she was a proud grandma, excited to be in this world again with a beacon of hope that was God ordained. Right? We are called to the deep. We are called to show the way back to God. And it's not going to be necessarily beating them up with Scripture and arguing that. Those are things that, yeah, that can work. But I think if you read Scripture, if you know Scripture, if you know the New Testament, man, you know what really changed people's lives? Showing up. Being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Being compassionate. Living out 1 Corinthians 13. Going out into the deep and not afraid of it. Church, we need to be looking for our Naomis to love. Church, if you're a Naomi this morning, I pray that you allow the roots to cling on to you and love you right where you're at. Okay? Because that's what we are called to do. I encourage you this week, read Ruth. Because it is so much fuller than even how I am explaining it this morning. But I think it would encourage you to just know that God loves you in every moment, even when you feel lost, even when you feel like there's no God to be around. He is right there working in the background. Right? God loves you in the deep, and he sends us to the deep. Let's be beacons of hope this week. Right? Stand with me, church. As I dismiss you this morning, let's live in a way that Lamentations knows, that we might be in the barren desert, but we know God's got us. We might feel like losers this morning, but we know who our winner is. We might feel lost and alone. We might not feel that God has been speaking to us, but know that God is in the background working. May we be the Ruth that God has called us. May we be the Naomi if we need to let God be our hope, our Savior. May he send people our way. Let us be the church that lives out Ruth this week. You're dismissed.